Hey, everybody, and welcome back. I am Amanda Moxley, and this is Kat Latorzo. And
we're
so excited. So this is the Speaker Way to Success series, where I've gathered and hand-selected some of my favorite friends and entrepreneurs from around the world to share their secrets about how they speak their way to success on stage, on live streams, on video, everywhere around the world, and how they could impact millions and make millions. And of course, I had to invite Kat, and here she is. So Kat, I might as well, I'm going to give you everyone your bio real quick so they know who talking to, and then we'll dive in. So Kat Latorzo helps kick-ass entrepreneurs, artists, visionaries, and hashtag revolutionary fucking leaders design the business and life of their dreams. Her special gift is inspiring, motivating, and empowering those who already know they can have it all and get out there and take it all. Amen. Kat is a best-selling author and an internationally renowned speaker, entrepreneur, and coach, as well as the founder and creator of literally dozens of online products and programs, literally dozens, if not hundreds of dozens. She built a $1 million a year and growing business initially by teaching women how to create the body of their dreams before transitioning into her current work as a success mentor to fellow driven leaders. Kat is also an expert in no BS coaching and would love to help you create a business and life you love completely on your terms. Yay, Kat!
Yay. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to chat again. We always have the best conversations. And if other people get to listen in, even better.
Even better. Exactly. Well, let's dive in. So Kat, tell us, I mean, you literally are an international success and you built this amazing business, and you tell us just like, how do you do this? Like, I want to know, how do you have this energy? Like, you are literally nonstop and you launch something like literally every 4 days. It feels, or maybe it's every
4 days, every day. Like, every what are you talking about?
You'll be in a launch cycle for 4 days.
Oh, launch. I thought you said live stream. Yeah, I launch like once a week, sometimes more. Yeah. I'm like an energizer bunny rabbit or something like that. And I guess to a degree, maybe I already always have been, but I just think when you're fueled by passion and you have a really big mission and a lot of stuff that you really want to do in the world, there's just no time to mess around with that. Right. So one of my favorite sources of inspiration for many years has been Arnold Schwarzenegger, because for fitness days, I used to always follow him and follow his journey. And he has these 6 rules for success. And one of them is sleep faster. And I just think that kind of sums everything up, right? It's like, you've got one life to live. It's not a dress rehearsal. If you've got a mission or a passion or something that you want to do in the world, then every single cell of your body should be working to create that on a daily basis. Now, that doesn't mean don't, you know, to spend time with your family or spend time chilling out or doing the other things that you want to do. But it's just kind of this overall purpose focused approach to life. And because I'm so purpose driven and I'm continually tuning into all of my goals in different areas, I just create the energy and the motivation from within. So I kind of feel like it doesn't really matter whether I slept or whether I've been sick or whether whatever other stuff is going on or how busy I am, I'm going to get done each day what I know my mission is in the world, basically. And and one other thing I want to say, and then I'll let you keep talking or I'll just go for like hours, is, I always think about how I'm going to feel later, right? Like if I'm tired or I feel overwhelmed or I feel unsure of how to take action, I think, well, how do I want to feel when my head hits the pillow tonight? And I'm like, all right, then suck it up, bitch, and do what you know you need to do. Otherwise, you're just going to feel annoyed at yourself. And I guess the bigger picture of that is you don't want to look back. You're not going to look back in even a year, let alone decades, which is what happens for most people. And you're not going to look back and say, well, gee, thank God I spent so much time resting because, you know, it was tiring, so I had to rest. Or thank God that I waited so long to press play on my dreams, as I would say.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, how many hours a day do you sleep, would you say, now that you sleep faster?
You know what? I slept like 10 hours last night. I think it was enough sleep for about 5 nights. I never felt so awesome. But normally, honestly, like 3, 2.5, sometimes 5. It's like whatever I actually really need. I just think all of this stuff it's just made up bullshit, right? Like the idea that you have to have this much sleep or eat this way or live this way or do business this way. Just question everything. How do you know what you actually need unless you really test that out and experiment with it? And I personally find that when I'm fueled with alignment and with passion and with purpose and with a really rock solid focus on my goals, that I feel like I'm kind of superhuman. I feel like I don't need to eat as much. I don't need to sleep. I have way better energy than just about anybody I know, except for friends who are similar to me. I'm happier. I flow. Everything just works better. And so I just respond to that rather than saying to myself, oh, it's this time of day. That means eat. That means sleep. Oh, I should be tired or I should need a rest. The flip side of that, because I know a lot of people look at me and they go, oh, she's a workaholic. She just hustles 24/7. Yeah, my life is about the hustle. But for me, hustle, the word hustle means actively creating all of the things that you want in your life. So to me, it's hustling if I take my son down on the beach and just play for an hour or two, or it's hustling if I am at the laptop, or if I'm having an amazing conversation with somebody, or if I even, like, sometimes I even go take a nap on the beach during the day, right? I live right on the beach back home. So the hustle is about responding to whatever you actually need or desire in the moment based on your goals and your purpose and your mission. And for me personally, I might hardly sleep and I don't kind of eat or think or really do anything in a normal fashion, I guess. But then if I really need to rest, like last night, I didn't set my alarm. I did sleep for 10 hours, right? So I would just, it's really about being intuitive and actually asking yourself what you need. Right.
You just listen to your body. So tell me, I love this that you're purpose-driven. How do people listening know their purpose, or how do they activate and know that that's their purpose?
Right. I love this question because I know a lot of people get stuck on that. So I do honestly feel that when people say, I don't know what my purpose is, I'm going to call bullshit on that a little bit, but I'll explain what I mean. I believe that you've always known what your purpose and your mission is, and that it's essentially a feeling that you have inside of you more than anything. So when people say, I have no idea what my purpose is, I find that one of two things is going on. Number one, they do know what it is, but they think that can't be it because that's too vague or nondescript, or who am I to do that, right? So they have some kind of thought process to do with self-worthiness, self-doubt, and also feeling like, but that's not a real thing. How could I turn that into a business, or let alone into a life? So there's that approach. And the other thing that can be going on is just not having, I guess, stepped into your purpose, meaning that you feel it, like you kind of feel like this leaning or this pull or this tug towards something, but you can't really put it into words or maybe even thoughts. And so you feel like, well, I don't know what my purpose is. So I guess the first level of awareness is to go, you know what? It really just is that stuff you feel inside of you, where you might be reading something online or reading a book or maybe even watching a movie, and all of a sudden you feel this feeling like, oh, like this tug on your heart, basically, like that's what life is about, or it's a flicker of excitement, or it's just a sense of coming to life. Those are the moments that you have to pay attention to. And what I would do with those moments, if you wanted to get clear on your purpose, is to start writing them down and to journal on them. Why am I excited by this? What is it about this that moves me? Why do I think that this matters, right? Because what most people do instead is they just let that emotion pass them by, and then they get back to living the life that they thought they had to live, essentially. And I guess the other part of it is, well, if you feel like you feel this desire, this urge, this burning inside of you to share certain things with the world, or to see certain things, or to be known in a certain way, but you feel like, well, who the hell am I to do that, right?
Right.
So I used to feel that way. I always fucking knew my purpose. I would say since I was about 7 years old, I first started knowing that my role in life is going to be to transform other people's lives. And I remember that very vividly on the schoolyard. But as I got older, I would write it out in my journal, and I would, you know, I had lots of different business ventures and career type things, business ventures predominantly, but I would always come back to my journal and I would always write, all I really want to do is write and speak. And I would use this exact sentence, inspire, educate, motivate, and empower other people to live the life of their dreams. And I would just keep coming back to it all of the time. But then I would go look at my business as it was, which was a fitness business for years. And then I was kind of transitioning under my own name, but essentially I was doing business coaching. And I would look at or think about this statement of wanting to help people live their dream life. And it was like, what the hell does that even mean? How do you help people to live their dream life? And who wants to listen to me talk about living your dream life? And I would prove it to myself as well. I'd write posts occasionally about how to live your dream life. And I would really get a minimal response or minimal engagement on them. And I would kind of be like, see, nobody wants to listen to that. They just want me to write 10 ways to lose stomach fat now, or is dairy good for you? And then when I was, those are posts I've both written. You can Google them with my name, by the way.
Yeah.
Dairy? Not really. No. Yeah, no. And then when I moved into sales and marketing type stuff, I was like, how to make 5K in 7 days and shit. That's like, yeah, I can teach that. And it's definitely like interesting and people want to know that, but I was still not giving myself permission. So what I'm trying to say here is you have got to give yourself permission to do the work that you know you were called to do. Nobody else is going to come along and give you permission. I mean, really, you were inherently born with a permission slip. Actually, you know, I love this meme I saw on Facebook not so long ago. I've saved it on my phone, which is, it was like a letter from God saying to you, stop looking for a plan. Why don't you just use the one I gave you, or use the blueprint I gave you, or something? And to me, that just sums it all up. Like, it's all there inside of you. So a big part of it, in fact, the only part of it to get you started on doing your purpose work, is just to go, you know what? Even though it makes no freaking sense, and I can't even put it into words properly, and I don't understand it, and who am I, blah, 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 I think I'm just going to do it anyway. And the clarity that you want will come through action. You don't get clarity from sitting on your ass trying to get clarity.
Yeah.
You get clarity from taking action.
Yeah, I love that. You don't get clarity from sitting on your ass. You get clarity from taking action. Yeah, it's really true. And then you find out what works and what doesn't work and how they respond or engage. Mm-hmm. So then, so basically you were doing what you thought you should do. And now you are teaching people how to live their dream life and create a business to fuel that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Now I have a completely purpose-driven business/life.
I actually remember that when you were like, okay, well, what's that? I remember. And then you went through that period of like, you were going to teach about lifestyle and dream business, but it wasn't working for you. But now you've come back and.
I dipped my toe. Yeah. And we go way back. So, you know, you've seen the transition. I dipped my toes in that water many times, and then I didn't get, and people need to hear this, right? Because I know people look at somebody like you and somebody like me, and no doubt the other speakers on this summit, and they go, but it's different for Kat. It's different for Amanda. She's got it going on. She's got a following. She's already making money. Of course, people want to listen to what she has to say. No, you need to shut up and understand that the only reason we got to where we are is because we got brave enough eventually to take the real leap of faith to create the business that we wanted. But we had to go through that essentially flying blind, very scary period. And that actually never fully ends, just so that everybody knows, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's still there. I'm still flying blind at least 90% of the time. I'm just making shit up, but I'm following my heart, right? So, like, for me, eventually, and I've said this to somebody recently, the reason I was able to finally transition to doing what I do now, to doing what I love, and to building a brand and a name based on what I know I was born to do, is because eventually the pain of not living my purpose got greater than the pain of being scared of doing it, or the pain of falling on my face, or the fear of rejection, or the fact that I landed myself in over $100,000 of debt and I was going to go bankrupt and I couldn't even buy food for my daughter sometimes, right? Yeah. All of that pain, none of that's fun, but it was not as scary as the idea of not living the life that I was born for. So I made a decision. I literally made a decision. I can remember it was like yesterday. I was like, that's it. I'm done. Even if I never make another cent again, I'm going to do what I know I'm meant to do. And if I don't make money ever again in my life, I'll just live with my parents, with my kids. That was the decision I made. But I knew in my heart that that wasn't going to happen. I was prepared to though. I was prepared to end up on the street, and most people are not prepared to do that, which is why most people don't make it.
Right. Yeah. You went all in and then you're like, I'm going to do this no matter what. And you have to have that mentality. You're either all in or you're all out. And so,
correct.
Yeah, you're all in. And I love that. And you give me so much, cause there's, you know, it just, you're on the edge a lot of times. So then tell me now, I know you do events and you do, I mean, you're doing live streams all the time and you're communicating, you have this great following. How do you teach people or give the listeners and us some tips on how to grow a massive following? Like, you have a cult tribe, hashtag cult tribe.
Hashtag cat cult.
Hashtag cult tribe. How do you do that?
You know what? I'm going to say this, and I'm going to just say that 99.99% of you are just not going to do it. So hopefully you get triggered by that and be like, fuck you, Kat. I am going to do it.
Well, but I'm asking for me, Kat. I'm
all right, good. For me, so Amanda's going to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the rest of you guys is going to do it. And then you can message me, and you should message me on Facebook and tell me that it's you. Because most people will listen and then they'll go, yeah, but what about the strategy? What about Facebook ads or whatever other bullshit? And I'm not anti that stuff. I do use that stuff, but in a very minimal way, because here's the magic secret that nobody's going to do, but maybe one person will do. You have to show up every freaking day and share content and share your message and communicate. I mean, I know this is like revolutionary, but sales and business and client conversations is built on communication, right? And I just see that everybody's out there online basically trying to shortcut having a fucking conversation with somebody. Like, oh, I don't want to talk to somebody. I mean, I don't really talk on the phone to them unless they're a client, but I'm talking all day through my live streams, through my blogs, through my free content. All I'm doing is communicating and connecting. You cannot take connection and communication out of business and expect it to work. Now, I don't think people are taking it out, but I see that people are spending maybe like 2% of their time on communication, content, and connection, and the rest running around with their heads up their collective asses trying to find some magic kind of bulletproof system where if I join all these dots and do all these things and then my lead page looks pretty, then maybe I'm going to make some money. And right. I'm not trying to make fun of it. I do make fun of it because it's annoying. But I also feel really sorry for the people who think that this is the solution. And I'm really passionate about helping people to understand that all of that stuff, it's like the cherry on top of the sundae. It's great. It's nice to have. I literally added most of that stuff on when my business had already made millions. I just launched my first ever properly designed website and I've been online for 10 years and it's still not even right. actually launched because it doesn't fucking matter. None of that stuff right. matters. So I'm not spending 2% of time on that. The reason that I have such a cult tribe, like my audience are like fervent cult followers, as you know, being part of the audience as well as a friend, is because I spend 95%, literally, like of my, in a practical sense, around 95% of my time is spent on content, conversation, and communication. So it's blogging every day. I mean, today, for example, I've worked for maybe 3 hours or so, I guess. 1 hour of that roughly was my own mindset work and journaling. And then I somehow managed to take 2 hours to write a blog, which is a very long time for me. But then that's it. And then I spent 10 minutes to check in with my team. I don't know what I'll do for the rest of the day, but I can guarantee that any time I do spend online, it's going to be 90-95% is blogging, live streaming, or other forms of written content. And that includes my sales activity because I just weave my sales process in all through my free content. So all I'm doing really every day is giving value, giving content, and just sharing as much as I can. I just have a rule of give it all away for free and more will flow that you can then sell. Don't feel like hold back on the free stuff. And that's really good. Why I have the following I have. My following is built, like I said, I use Facebook ads a little bit, but it's not a core thing that I do. My following's built more like one person at a time. I always said I'd rather have one really fervent, aligned tribe follower rather than 1,000 random people that wanted a free freaking report on Facebook and then I have to pay to email them. So I don't know.
Oh my God, that's so
genius. And then they'll tell me off for cursing. So
yeah, right. I love it. So one person at a time. You're building your follow because
one person at a time.
You like I know for me, like I will do these live streams and I'll try and engage and I don't get that connection back sometimes. And I'm like, I mean, but I do, but it's not like hordes and hordes of people. But I still show up for the
Right. And that's a great point. And okay, but it takes, here's the cool thing, right? Here's the shortcut. You only have to be willing to do it every day until you die. That's it. Just give it everything until you die. Whereas, and I know you are that kind of person, but I get a lot of people that come to me. Oh my God. I literally had a girl last week. I've been doing everything that Kat says to do. I've done this. And she listed it all out and it was all what I say to do. I've done it every day for 6 weeks and it's not working. And I was like, I just feel like I've got steam coming out of my ears just thinking about it because I'm like 6 weeks.
Six weeks.
I've done it for 10 fucking years.
Yeah.
So when you say I'm doing everything that Kat does, did you do it every day for 10 years? Did you wait 3 years before you made any money? Did you go sell your fucking house, sell your car, sell your shares, sell your handbags even?
Yeah.
Not be able to buy food for your children. Did you do that? Really? I get it. So I just think this comes back to, it is about consistency. Nothing is going to work unless, I mean, you want to identify the things that you feel are right to commit to in your business. For me, that's writing and speaking predominantly and selling. And then you just do those things every day, almost completely to the exclusion of everything else. And so the way that I do that is I do those things every day. I ignore everything else. And then typically late at night, like 11 p.m. onwards or something is more when they'll be like, right, now I need to go and look at the freaking business because I have 9 or 10 staff and I'm building an empire and there's actually things that I need to do as director of my own company. And I just suck it up and I get it done, but I don't do it through the day. Through the day, I focus only on content and communication. And And that's what I mean when I say, like, I mean, really the reality is it's such a few amount of people that will be willing to do what I do. I don't really mean in terms of time. I don't actually feel like I spend that much time on my business. I guess I do. It's hard for me to establish because it's also interwoven with my life. Mm-hmm. It's more just people are going to listen and they're going to be like, yeah, but how does my lead page look and how should my funnel look and blah, 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 right. blah. And so there will be that 1% person though, who's like, oh my God, I had that knowledge or that feeling inside that it's all going to come from in here. And that's the person mm-hmm. I'm speaking to right now, essentially.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And then, so tell me, so you're doing live streams, you're communicating connection content daily, religious, like you don't even take a day off.
Religiously.
You don't even take Christmas yeah. off, do you? You don't even take off one day.
I didn't take off the day I gave birth
yeah.
my son. Exactly. I wrote a blog as soon as he had a nap, which by the way, because people are going to be like, that's extreme. He fell asleep and I wasn't tired. So I wrote a blog when he was about an hour old. And then I thought, well, it'd be stupid to post it without selling something. So I ended up doing all my daily activity.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not that, here's the thing, right? It's so much easier to do something all of the time than some of the time. Mm-hmm. It's not hard for me personally to do my blog, my live streams, or my workout, let's say that as well, my journaling, et cetera, the various different things that I do daily. It's not hard. That's like saying to me, was it hard to remember to put your clothing on before you left the house?
Right.
It's just a very automated thing to do. Mm-hmm. So I really think, you know, something that's powerful for everybody is to identify maybe the top 3 or 4 habits that you feel are the daily habits where if I did these 4 things every single day, I'm going to get to my goals. And for me, those things are journaling, blogging, workout, sales activity. I know that if I do those 4 things every day, and even if I did nothing else, I'll reach my goals. The only other thing I'll add, which I don't mention because it's not so directly related to my business, the only other thing is that's a daily must is that if I'm with my kids, like in the same location or country, then time with them every day as well.
Actually, I want to ask you because we've never really talked about you as a mom, and we're both moms, and a lot of people watching, how do you, like, how much quality time do you spend with your kids and what does that look like?
Yeah, I spend a lot of quality time with my kids. I think a lot more than what people probably realize. I don't post heaps about them online. I've tried to do it a little bit more lately, actually. I have a personal rule of spending daily quality, like attentive time with each of my kids, so long as I'm obviously with them. If they're not there, then I don't. And what I noticed, though, was I was not so great at being present as a mom. I made a rule when my daughter was about 18 months, so my firstborn, I noticed that she started to notice the phone. And straight away, I said to myself, I'm not going to be one of those moms that's on the phone all the time around their kids. So I just, it was very hard for me to not do, but I just made a rule from way back with the phone thing. So I've not been a mom who's done that. Like, I'll take them on outings or I'll spend time with them and I don't do the continual checking of the phone thing. But then I realized, I'm kind of cheating because my mind is somewhere else, right? A lot of the time, like I'm just thinking or feeling worried or anxious about business stuff or stuff that I haven't got to yet. So at the start of this year, one of the habits that I decided for myself to introduce this year was really proper attentive engaged time, as close to daily as possible. And the way that I do that, and I know a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with this, like to switch your mind off and then you feel guilty as a mom or as a parent, it's really hard because you want to be a good parent, but at the same time, you're pretty much thinking about work all the time. Mm-hmm. So the way that I've found that works for me is that I already decided in advance at the start of the day that we're going to spend this time together at this time of day or do this particular activity. And basically in my mind, I already wrote that block of time off in the same way that if I had an interview or a client call or something or anything else at all where it's like, oh, well, I know I can't be doing something else in that time frame.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not even an option. And so I try to do something that's, I guess, fun or engaging. I don't really overthink it that much. Like we might go play at the beach or go to the playground or I took my daughter on a little date the other day where we bought some plaster things and some painting things. And I actually took her to a wine bar that she had some Spanish donuts or something. Yeah. And we had this little grown-up painting artist date. And that was really lovely, actually. She loved it.
She's so cute.
So I am actively, consciously making more of an effort, which is, yeah, something that requires discipline and focus like anything else. But once again, as with any other area of life, but how do I want to feel at the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of the year, and when my kids are like getting to that point where they're like, go away, mum, am I going to look back and be like, oh my God, what the fuck did I do? And I felt like I was on that pathway for a while of getting, of where I would look back and be like, fuck, I didn't do it right. So I really, really have had to train myself to change it. And it's so worth it. And it's also, I mean, just on a side note and a completely selfish note, but relevant, you're going to be so much more rejuvenated for your business if you take that 30-minute block of time or even like a, I'll often do like a 2-hour play date or whatever with the kids. The one thing I fucking hate though is playing dolls. But I will sometimes take a deep breath and have a glass of wine and force myself to play dolls. I fucking hate playing dolls.
Oh, that's so funny. Phoebe's like, I think a lot like Alyssa. She's such a boss. Everything I do, I don't do it right. And she tells me how to control it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. My daughter tells me off all the time. I came out wearing something to go to dinner and she puts her hand up. She's gone, stop. Wait. Are you wearing that? You do not look fabulous. Oh. And then she just turns and walks out of the room. And I'm like, I thought it looked all right. I'm a little bit rejected now.
Fashion police.
They're
I love it.
So funny. They're just little natural hustlers. And then it just gets beaten out of them. Not by us, obviously, but by the system.
Yeah, totally. Okay. Yeah, no, I've done that with my kids. I've set a timer and I'm like, you've got 1 hour, and I put my phone and I just submerge. But I
focus time. Yeah.
I get anxiety. Like, what do you get anxiety about? Cause I'm curious what you get anxiety about and how you manage it. And through action is probably how you manage it.
I was getting anxiety about not being about realizing that I wasn't being the kind of mom I wanted to be. So I feel like I'm getting better at that now. I'm pretty proud of myself for how I'm handling that now, improving in that area. And it is so worth it. Now I get anxiety if I don't attend to the things that matter to me as far as alignment. So it's pretty much the four things that I said earlier. Mm-hmm. I definitely get anxious if I don't, like, I get annoyed at people around me if I don't get to do my journaling or my writing. I cannot handle conversation with anybody or anybody being in my space if I haven't, like, if I've not done my journaling or my writing, I'll get very edgy and fidgety and everybody will start to annoy me. So I will really do whatever it takes to make sure I do my own mindset work, my fitness stuff as well. If I can't do my workout, I'll get edgy and annoyed. So for me, it's just about the fact that I have identified the different things that I want to be doing in my life each day that serve me in a number of different ways, but also help me to be emotionally where I want to be, I guess, and just making sure that I make time for them no matter what, even if it's a very small period of time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Then that is managed. Okay. And then another question is about, I know you do retreats and you've never really done like a, that I know of, a big 3-day event, but you do little retreats and hustle houses. And tell us a little bit about that strategy for people who may not want to do a 3-day event.
Yeah.
But I know you do retreats and you did JFDI things and like that. So what's that?
I mean, I did one 3-day event. I ran a 3-day event in Vegas last year in April. And
oh,
that
you did?
That was quite good. It's funny, you know, because I've always known that I'll end up speaking on a big stage to tens of thousands of people. And I realized I wasn't locking that goal in because I was scared of it, I guess. So I've started to really lock that in into my journaling. So I know it will happen in some way at some point. In fact, I've already been offered lots of pretty big speaking gigs for this year. So I guess it's coming from the journaling. As far as my own stuff, events and retreats have not been a significant portion of my income. My income is predominantly from low-end information products and courses, but I do them when I feel like doing it, and I'll typically do some sort of implementation type boot camp, like get 10 women in a nice conference room in a hotel for 2 days and bring your laptops and just literally go from like idea right through to creation of the offer, sales process, all the way through to sale, right then and there in the room. That's fun for me to do. The Hustle House was super fun. So that was three entrepreneurs came and stayed at my house on the water in Queensland. And it was like three entrepreneurs locked up in the house with me for 4 days and 4 nights. And it was like basically no sleep and just hustle. But I took them from like, they arrived on the Thursday afternoon. I didn't let them sleep till about 3 or 4 a.m. We came up with the idea on the Thursday night. We put the idea together on the Friday for each, and then we launched it on the Friday just before dinner. Then I took them for a really luxe dinner, And then at dinner, they're all on their phone selling. And by the time that weekend was over, there'd been nearly 100 grand made in the house because I just locked them up and made them do the work that I do. So that was pretty fucking powerful because it shows that, I mean, you got to have something to obviously offer the world, but this was literally from like first online program launch for these women, or for, yeah, for two of them. I think the other one had sold some things online already for sure. But that was cool. And really I only do these sort of things like events if I feel like it. I don't have it as part of my business strategy. I don't say to myself, I have to run these events throughout the year. I find that idea a little stressful. I don't really like being locked into things, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. I don't like to be under command of my schedule. I want to know that I can kind of do what I feel like doing. So if I wake up one morning and go, I think I want to do an event, then I'll just throw it out there and I'll do it later that same month. So that's probably why I've not been running big events, because I don't like to plan them too far in advance. So I got to have a little think about what I'm going to do in that area.
Mm-hmm. I love that about you. Like, you get an idea to implementation. And I actually heard that those are probably your most successful opportunities, because a lot of people, I have an idea and then they wait and they're like subject to a schedule or some strategy. So I love that about you.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Kat, you've given us so much. So I know you have an amazing free gift. And do you remember what it is? It's Sprint Your Way Rich. It's your ebook. Yeah. I think it's your ebook. I can look it up.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's Sprint Your Way Rich. Yeah. So you can go to, do you want me to give the link?
You can. And we also have it here as well.
You're going to give it that. Okay. Yeah, but it's also at katlatoza.com/free gift. And you can get a free copy of one of my Amazon best-selling books, Sprint Your Way to Rich. But only if you're willing to put in the freaking work and go hard and fast.
Yeah.
If you don't like my pace, and if you find I'm a little scary or chaotic, you will not like the book or all my stuff. Don't subscribe.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You're either a Kat devotee or you're not. And anyway, Kat, you are amazing. Thank you. I've gotten so much. I like to engage people in the here. So I want to know, actually, this is fun, Kat. You kept saying, everything I do is outcome orientated. You said, you didn't say that word, but you said, how do I want to feel? How do I want to feel? How do I want to feel?
Yeah.
So my engagement question for everyone listening is, how do you want to feel in your business? Or how, like Kat said it a bunch of times. Do you like that as an engagement question?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Everybody should ask themselves that question every single day, because they're not doing that. They're just jumping up and having their feet hit the floor and then reacting all day long.
Yeah. And let me ask you something. So when you, that's something that you love teaching, is like how, like be the person that you want to be and act like that person. So what has that, can you give us a personal example in your life of how you've done that or how you continue to do that?
Oh yeah. Well, it's not a business one, but I'll tell you that the first time I really clicked into that concept, and I use that religiously, by the way, to up-level continually my income, my impact, anything else. But the first time I used that was after I gave birth to my first child. So before that, I was like fitness modeling. I was teeny tiny. I was like half the size I probably even am now. I would have been appalled at my own shape right now, for example. My whole identity was wrapped up in how I looked and in being this fitness chick. And then during pregnancy, I gained like double the amount of weight that you're supposed to gain. And the doctor even told me off about it, which I thought was a little harsh. But I thought to myself that it's fine. I'll get my body back in 6 weeks. I gave myself 6 weeks. I took my gym gear to the hospital with me. So I was pretty deluded. I didn't end up using it, but I totally thought I could do a workout in the hospital after I gave birth. This is before the first one, by the way, just to be clear. But then after she came along and we went home and everything, I really did try and my body didn't change and I started to freak out. I got really depressed and down about it because at the time it was kind of my whole identity and I was completely just absolutely miserable and I just hated it. I hated it. I cannot explain how much I hated it. I was depressed about it. I wanted to walk around town when I didn't have the baby holding a sign that says, I'm not sad. I just had a baby or something. I wasn't even big when I look back now, but
yeah,
I was in a weird place in my body at the time. But what happened was I was walking through town back in my hometown of Melbourne and suddenly it occurred to me, I was like, I'm acting like somebody who hates their body and who's out of shape and miserable. And so that's what I'm creating. And all of a sudden I thought to myself, what if I just kind of fake it, right? What if I start to act like a kind of hot, yummy mummy, so does, I hate that expression, but hot mom. What if I start to act like a hot fit mom would act like? And I remember walking through the streets. So I was like, well, if I was already a fit hot mum, I actually wouldn't be eating this fucking strictly. I'd probably be a little bit kinder to myself and have a dessert or something now and then. I wouldn't be so obsessive about training either. I'd be doing it more intuitively based on what I actually felt I needed. But also even little things that I started to notice, like the way that I was holding my posture, like I was walking around town like a depressed, frumpy person. And so that's what I was creating. So I just started to consciously reprogram everything. So the practical side of it, like the nutrition and training, I was like, okay, let's go from intuition now instead of from being an obsessed crazy person. But then also with my thoughts, with my energy, with my breath, with my posture, everything, I just started to program it into my mind. I'm a fit, hot mom. And then I was journaling as well on it, obviously, as I always do. And I'm not kidding, I had like abs in about 4.5 weeks or something.
Nice.
And right. And it was totally my mindset around it, because you're always going to get whatever you believe. You're telling yourself, I'm this, I'm that, I'm stuck, nobody likes my stuff, nobody wants to hear from me, they think I'm silly. Then that's what you're going to create. Or money's hard to come by, money doesn't grow on trees. Oh my God, the money programming I had to let go of from my parents and my upbringing, that was hard. I made it probably harder than it had to be. But all of this stuff you can consciously change. So any of these beliefs that you have, you kind of look at your beliefs and go, is that a useful belief? Is that serving me? Definitely not. Let me just cross that off. Let me replace it with something else. And then if you feel like you don't believe it though, right? Like I started writing my favorite money affirmation. I write it every single day to this day. I write it this morning. I write it every day. Is more and more money flows to me effortlessly and easily each day from a place of flow and alignment for the greater good of myself and of others. So I made this statement up like maybe 12 years ago. I definitely didn't have money then. And I've been writing it every day and I continue to write it. But when I first started to write it and various other statements that I do daily as well, I felt like a lot of people probably feel now when they get into this stuff, which is like, yeah, but I don't, but that's bullshit, right? Like your mind's like, liar, I don't believe it. Mm-hmm. Well, you just got to write it anyway, because if you keep writing it down every day, then there comes a certain point in time when your mind kind of switches over and you're like, well, I don't know that I fully believe it yet for me, but I feel like maybe that's possible. And then it just keeps going. And then at some point you're like, yeah, I fucking believe it. And then honestly, every time without fail, it'll be very quickly after that point where you'll be like, oh, and now look, I see it as well. And that's going to be true with business, with money, with fitness, with any area of life.
I agree. That's happened to me multiple times. And it's like money flow. It's like those thoughts start thinking me. I'm not even thinking those, that new thought pattern. That thought now thinks me. But
right. I like that way of thinking about it.
It thinks me. But what do you do if you're like, and I know you, I do not identify with being like a super emotional person, and you definitely, but I am like sensitive and emotional. It's hard. And sometimes like these emotions just like get in me. And I'm doing it. And it's just kind of that. And I know that's not everyone's issue, but that would be mine. I have like in astrology, all water signs. So what do you do, Kat? When it's all up in you, man, you can't escape it.
No, I have that. I'm like super emotional and dramatic at times. I've literally like laid down on the kitchen floor, like beat my fists on the floor and cried, or I'll like throw things or stuff. Like, no, not frequently, but I have my little emotional dramas. And I feel it. Like I guess I've conditioned myself to not get engaged with that. Like I'll start having a little hissy fit or a temper tantrum or something happens, even like, let's say with trouble, there's always something happening. And then you're like, oh my God, this person's a fucking moron, or fuck this shit. Or you get triggered, or you get angry, or you start to go into some sort of not positive emotional spiral. I'm pretty freaking on the ball now with like, stop, reframe. That's not helpful. What do you need to feel instead? And that will happen within 0.01 seconds, but that took practice and discipline. And one of the things I say kind of laughingly to my clients now, I'm not laughing about it though, but it is funny, is, I'm a success terminator now. Nothing can stop me. I've literally trained my brain and my thinking, like every, like the physiology of every cell in my body is now geared for success. It's impossible for me to not continue growing my income, my impact, and my success across all areas of my life. I can't turn this shit off if I tried. I would have to try really freaking hard to start not continue succeeding. But the only reason for that is because I really consciously programmed it for very, very many years. And so now it is pretty automated that if something happens, like I had some pretty full on personal stuff happen last year that was potentially very scary and potentially very embarrassing in a public way as well. And it was a big deal. It was definitely the sort of stuff that people would have been hiding from the spotlight for 3 months or something. It was full on. And I did freak out when it first all kind of blew up. I was like, oh my God, oh my God. Like I was literally like, oh my God. And it was to do with a friend as well. And the two of us were on the phone like, fuck, oh my God, this is fucking for real. And both of us within like, I would say not even a full 60 seconds were like, stop, reframe. I don't know who said it first. Everything always works out perfectly for us. We always make the right decision. Everything happens for us, not to us. And we just started basically like affirming to each other over and over again to do with our somewhat separate but still connected situations. And it was really powerful to kind of notice in myself. Like I've just created the ability where, okay, no matter what, no matter how scary it is, no matter how potentially, you know, I guess like public it might be when you're in the spotlight of in any way, shape or form, you know that people are watching your life, that you have these grounding beliefs that everything always works out the way it's supposed to. So therefore, even if something feels terrifying or wrong or scary, you're able to just go take a deep breath. Everything always works out perfectly. I know this. I believe it. I chose that belief. And so therefore it's true. And so, okay. It is what it is. Let's now make a decision about what action to take.
Yeah, that's genius. And it's a habit.
Correct.
I love it. This is like the PS version because we like wrapped up.
I know.
Like,
didn't we finish 20 minutes ago?
Yeah, like this is a PS version, but I had to ask you. So it is really true. It's really just, it's a habit that you can choose to get out of. And I love that you just stopped yourself and what this stop, reframe. What do you need to feel instead? And that you're
right. And I say that to clients all the time. Clients send me like 45 audio messages just telling me all their woes sometimes, which is fine. I encourage that. Well, I don't encourage it. I allow it. And then I'll just be like, I'll scroll through the whole big essay. And then I'm like, okay, so what do you want to feel instead? All right, let's just focus on that then. We don't need to go through this whole freaking story again.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Like it's so genius. I love it. Kat. Oh, wait, you kind of froze. Okay. She's frozen. Oh, there she is. Okay.
I'm here.
Okay. Good. Yeah. It was like slow motion.
Cool.
All right. That was so helpful, Kat. Everything you've given us is such a joy and just everyone needs to, you know, follow Kat. She's got so much and I tune in like, cause it is a full channel. And like, anyway, so I tune in and I get so much and you motivate me so much and you inspire me and I just love you and I'm so grateful for you. So thank you for being here, Kat. And I hope, so engaging everyone, we're going to come back to the group. You're going to talk about how do I want to feel? Who is the person you really want to be? And what do you say? Be that instead. How do you want to feel instead? Be that, not only be it, but act it instead. So
perfect.
Thank you, Kat.
Thank you so much for having me. That was super fun.
I know. I love it. To be continued. Thanks, everyone. See you in the BU Make Bank Facebook group.